Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro. I'm one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this how-to video, we're going to be discussing the market cycles. I'm holding up a book, Creative Cash. We wrote this book 2 years ago. We launched it because we thought it would be relevant in this part of the market cycle. And guess what? We're about a year early, but creative financing, seller financing is going to become even more prominent. And we're going to be discussing this on this week's show because of the market cycle. So email me, Gino at jakeandgino.com, and I will send you a PDF copy in the mail, Gino at jakeandgino.com. Now, when I started investing in real estate, I didn't know what the market cycles were. I had no idea. But as a foundation, as a basis, you need to understand what they are, and we're going to describe why it's so important. But let's dive into the four parts of the market cycle, the four different parts of the market cycle. And when we talk about the discussion, you don't really know the length. Everyone's going to tell you, oh, the average market cycle is 10 years or 8 years. And you may not even know as you're going through it, but you can have this sense. And I'm going to give you an idea of what each market cycle, some of the characteristics in each part of the market cycle. So let's go back to 2009, 2010. Let's call that the first part of a market cycle. That's the recessionary. Now, market cycles, we're going to be looking at this from a macro perspective, looking at it from the entire United States of America. Market cycles, believe it or not, they occur in every submarket. You can have a market cycle occurring in the United States. Let's say right now we're in the seller's market right now. Let's say most of the country is between hypersupply and recession. Let's just say we're there. But you may be in a market like Jacksonville, Florida, where it's really expanding still. So understanding what the market cycles are, but then drilling down into your specific market and submarket is even more crucial to understand. Because when you do that, the way you use the market cycles is you're going to be creating your buy rate criteria. You're going to be understanding your exit strategies. You're going to know what to buy and what kind of value you're going to be adding to properties based on where you are in this market cycle. So back to 2008, 2009, 2010. First part, it's a recession. And what's going on when there's a recession? Well, the first thing you're going to notice is it's really hard to go to a bank and get loans, and hence creative cash. When Jake and I started, all of a sudden creative financing was the rage because it was really hard to finance those ugly ducklings. Why over the last 3 or 4 years weren't you able to really use it as much? It's because it was a seller's market. You just threw a property in the market. No one has to sell or finance their property. It's easy to get financing. The bank was giving out loans. But when we started in the recessionary market environment, all of a sudden rates were a little bit higher as they are right now. The economy was slower as it is right now. The recessionary market is the recessionary part of that cycle is when you want to buy everything. It's sort of contrarian, but prices are depressed. There's not as much competition out there. You want to start buying because you want to quote unquote ride the wave. So the recession, let's call it the first part of the market cycle. The next one is recovery. All of a sudden, things are starting to recover. And the recession part, building basically slows down. You're seeing unemployment raise. You're seeing job losses. You're seeing just the economy stagnant as it was in 2009, 2010, 2011. But in 2011, 12, 13, 2014, we had the recovery and it was really nice. Assets were still pretty, as you like to say, inexpensive. They weren't crazy. You could buy deals that were cash flowing. Cap rates had not really started compressing as much. In the recessionary part, cap rates are decompressing. Cap rates are actually going up. Prices are going down. Well, as things start to expand and you're recovering, all of a sudden you're still buying deals. In the recession, you're buying whatever you can. In the recovery part, you're still buying deals and there's still what we call that value add component. In that part of the market cycle, they're still called distressed, right? But they're still value and you can still reposition, fix them up and then flip them. And that's what we saw 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. And then there's expansion. I'd say expansion started in, let's say 2016 and 17 in the United States when it really took hold. And the Jobs Act in 2017, you're seeing certain other things that's going on from the government and all these different programs going on to stimulate it. Things are starting to expand. All of a sudden, lending comes back. Jobs are starting to grow again. Buildings coming back on. Things are starting to feel good in the expansion. And it's as if you can't do any wrong. You're just trying to buy deals, but you need to understand what your exit strategy is. It's not as much where you're buying a deal and you're adding a lot of value and you can flip out of it, because that may become a little dangerous, because then all of a sudden, once the market cycle has gone from expansion, you're seeing all of a sudden hypersupply, which is the fourth part of the market cycle. And hypersupply basically means, man, we are on overdrive. Things are cranking. Things are rocking and rolling. I would really equate this to 2021, 2022 for a lot of the parts of the U.S. And there's a lot of building going on. And you can look at certain markets. I would go to IRR.com. They have some great resources on market cycles. They're going to tell you some cities are in recessionary. Some cities are hypersupply. Some cities are expanding. Some cities are in recession. Whatever the market cycle is, they have certain cities designated based on their metrics. And I'll give you a couple examples of hypersupply. Look at markets like Phoenix right now. Look at markets like Nashville. There's a lot of building going on. There's a lot of units being delivered to the market. Are they being absorbed? Not as much as they were a year or two ago. They were still expanding, because what happens was they're being delivered, but they were being absorbed right away. Now in hypersupply, all of a sudden things are starting to crank up. You're seeing rates went up. You're seeing things slow down. And if you're in a hypersupply, the next phase is, going to go back into recession. So you just need to be careful in that part that you have fixed rate long-term financing. Because you can always buy real estate. You can even buy it during a hypersupply. We've bought 300 units this year in a market that's pretty hot. You just can't always sell real estate. And that's what happened back in 2006, 2007, 2008. There was hypersupply. There was a lot of frothiness in the market. And for those in 2007 and 2008 who got caught and didn't have fixed rate long-term financing in 2009 and 2010, their debt came due. Well, they're still cash flowing for the most part in these deals. It's just that their debt expired. Well, they couldn't sell because their asset was underwater. They couldn't refi because the value had dropped. So they just lost the property. And that's what's happened in the last couple of years in our market in real estate, for the most part, for the majority of the United States. Over the last 2 years, assets have been bought through this frothiness market. It's really a seller's market. You can break it down into buyer's market and seller's market. You can call buyer's market phase one, it's really recession. Buyer's market phase two is recovery. Then you have the seller's market phase one, which is the expansion. And then seller's market phase two, which is what we're seeing right now. And it's going back into the buyers, which is the hypersupply. Now, as you're seeing what's going on right now, you can understand, looking back, you only know when you've hit a high in real estate by looking back. Since 2022, Freddie Mac has told us that prices have adjusted downwards 13%. And as you're seeing this right now, another telltale sign of the seller's market going back into the buyer's market, over the last few years, brokers really didn't have to work as hard to sell their properties. They didn't have to do cold calls. They were getting deals sent to them. And it was such a frothiness. There was so much demand. In that seller's market, you put a property on, all of a sudden, 10 days later, it's off the market. Well, in a buyer's market cycle, you're seeing properties stay on for longer and you're seeing a lot less demand. There used to be 20, 25 calls to offer. Now there may be two or three calls to offer on certain properties. And also you're seeing a lot less deal flow. That's what happens at the end of the seller's market. Sellers who have to sell are saying to themselves, I've got to cut my prices. And sellers who don't have to sell, well, they're just going to wait. And that's what's going on. That's why I'm trying to prepare you right now. From a macro, it seems as if we're at the end of the seller's market, trying to go into the buyer's market. Now, nobody can predict, because nobody knows what's going to happen to interest rates. All of a sudden, the government and a 10-year treasury the last month and a half, 2 months has crashed. If that continues to drop and the Fed's signaling that they're going to drop rates this next year, then what happens? Frothiness comes back. Rates drop. Cost of capital becomes cheaper. More people re-enter the real estate market, and you might go right from the buyer's market back to the seller's market really quick, understanding. Now, why I wanted to discuss the market cycles, understanding your buy rate criteria in these market cycles and understanding the exit strategy is very important. In the buyer's market, you can be buying these assets. You can hold on to them for the longer term, ride the wave up, have a longer exit strategy, and then exit out. But in the seller's market, if you're buying towards the top and you're trying to time and do a fix and flip, and all of a sudden the seller's market shifts back to the buyer's market, well, then you're in trouble. Let me give you a quick story of what happened to me back in 2006. I had bought a property in Dutchess County, New York. It was a retail strip center. It was a pretty good deal at the time when I bought it. A lot of problems, but I bought it in the wrong part of the market cycle. We were going from a seller's market to a buyer's market. It was the wrong market itself. There was no job growth. The economy was still working pretty well. But if I understood all the metrics, I would have either A, paid a lot less for this property, which still would have been okay in the long run, or B, I would have walked away altogether and then waited for the market cycle to shift, then waited for the price to come down dramatically, and I would have gotten it at a bargain. Understanding the market cycle is crucial to putting your buy right criteria together. Once again, here's Creative Cash. I want you to reach out to me because this has the three pillars of real estate in there as well, because that really coincides with the market cycle. It's got the market cycle in there. It's got debt, understanding what the debt is, but more importantly, what's your exit strategy, and knowing that how you couple the exit strategy in conjunction with the market cycle is crucial. And then you're going to couple whatever exit strategy you have to whatever debt you need for that deal. I want to thank you for joining me on this how-to, talking about the market cycle and understanding, once again, I'm going to say it again, what your buyer criteria is. As you leave and you go on with the rest of your day, just pause for a second. Focus on what kind of assets you're buying. Focus on what kind of the part of the market cycle you're in right now. Focus on the debt you need and focus on your exit strategy. Thanks for spending part of your day with me. And I'm looking forward to seeing you on next week's How To.